This is Jade from the Back to Back Pod. Thank you for joining us today. It's Tuesday, basketball buds. Be sure to go to fanduel.com/B2B. If you're listening to this on Wednesday morning, you can go there and get involved with our Wednesday FanDuel Challenge. If you're new, if you deposit $5, they'll give you $5, and that will help the show. Just play once and help the show. Also, subscribe to the new feed on Bomb. Subscribe to the NBA Daily Ding. Yes, I added NBA to it, just to clarify. And also, to everybody, thanks for supporting us on Patreon. It means the world. All right, enjoy the show.
Before meeting up with the economy minister, the foreign secretary has to do a quick bit of filming for his official Twitter feed.
Okay, yeah. Hi, folks. Boris Johnson, foreign secretary. I'm here in Lisbon, in Portugal, to celebrate what is the oldest alliance and friendship in diplomatic history, going back to 1386, going forward through the Napoleonic Wars, through to the Second World War, when, of course, this was a place that was, I think, what happened in the Second World War? What did we do in the Second World War? It was neutral, wasn't it? The Azores. What did we do in the Azores? Hi, folks. I'm Boris Johnson. I'm the Foreign Secretary. I'm here in Lisbon.
Every single time.
Thanksgiving did me in.
Did too much cooking?
I have mock drafts in November.
Draft content, man. They gotta people read that shit.
Why are you mocking the like? Why not just do a big board?
There are mock drafts for the 2021 draft.
God, they're fucking stupid,
man.
Yep. I don't know, like you said, the big board, they could do it like power rankings, and it would be so much more fun.
Yeah.
Right?
Because they're like, dumb and think that they have to like put a team to the player, right? Exactly. That's going to get the fan base excited. Like, no, dummy, put four teams to the player. Like, these are the teams that need this guy, right?
Yes.
Like,
it's stupid. They should just read Zach Harper's power rankings and copy that, but with draft prospects.
But where could you find those, Dave?
I'm actually looking right now on theathletic.com.
Oh my God, The Athletic. Did you know you could give it as a gift and get a free t-shirt?
I did know that.
Yeah.
I did. I saw
best
that.
Best deal on the internet.
On Twitter.
You're selling free t-shirts?
giving them away.
Out of there. A cannon.
Yo,
you can get up to 60% off, by the way. Now.
I found.
That's crazy. It's a crazy deal.
A sushi bazooka.
What?
Yes.
It shoots only sushi?
This is my understanding. It's all-in-one sushi making machine. It's a sushi bazooka. Like, I can't think of a better weapon.
I don't know. I think a meatball cannon would be pretty good.
Oh, man. Sushi bazooka. Also,
sushi wouldn't hold up.
People think it's ridiculous. You just shoot the sushi into their mouth. What are you talking about?
It would disintegrate.
It wouldn't disintegrate. What kind of cheap ass sushi are you buying?
That'd have to be some really sticky rice.
Or it'd have to have a really slow velocity coming out that cannon.
No, like, it's gonna like fire out. It would look like a seaweed. Seaweed's got it wrapped up like a bullet case.
It would just look like a tongue slowly coming out of the end.
No, you guys don't have any idea what sushi physics are.
Jade, who do you think on this pod right now is the best at catching the hibachi shrimp that's flipped into your mouth?
I'm offended you would even ask this.
Because it's clearly me.
I was going to say Maze.
I don't know. You need a good trajectory on that.
Yeah.
On that
shrimp. He's too tall. Yeah.
Tall.
Too tall? I was thinking tall would be good for this.
No, he's got less reaction time.
Oh, that's true.
It's not me. I don't like food getting flipped at me. Just let me eat it myself.
So you're out on the sushi cannon.
Bazooka, get it right. Bazooka. See, this is the thing you guys don't even know what to call it.
I think I'm out on all kinds of bazookas.
The gum? Bazooka's where it is. Bazooka Joe gum is terrible.
Oh, it's so dry and chalky. It's amazing.
It's too hard.
It was like the gum that came in pack of baseball cards, but in a ball, so you could actually break a tooth on it.
It has the consistency of cardboard.
They still make that?
I have no idea.
They just have a bunch of Bazooka Joe stock from the 50s that they haven't gotten rid of yet.
Do they even make gum that has sugar in it anymore?
No, he's not allowed. Not allowed.
Yeah.
What about Double Trouble?
No, they do.
Sorry, Double Bubble. Sorry.
Double Bubble? Sorry. Double Bubble's legit.
They still make that what is it? The Big League Chew.
Big League Chew. Ooh, that grape.
That chewing tobacco starter kit.
That's right. Yeah. The gateway to chewing tobacco. Let me tell you, playing Little League Baseball, man, we'd go through like three of those in a game.
I thought it was a substitute.
Did you ever have like candy cigarettes?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the best part was when you opened it up first, like you had, they still had the powder so you can blow out, and it was just the perfect.
Wait, they did that?
Oh, yes. They had the powder on, so you could puff.
Yeah.
You blew out, and it made a little smoke, and then you're like,
The 90s were wildly reckless.
That was the
children into doing things.
That was carryover from the 80s.
Definitely.
The 90s was when everything started getting nerfed.
Yeah. That was definitely 80s.
And now you have to pass laws so your kids can like walk to school alone.
Is that real?
Utah passed like a free range parenting law of some sort.
Pasture raised children?
Yeah, essentially it's like your kid's allowed to go play outside by himself.
Farm to table kids?
I was watching a heroin documentary on HBO yesterday on my deathbed.
It's just season 5 of Entourage. It's not
and
a documentary.
It turns out that dipsticks.
It's actually Trainspotting. Yep.
People snorted dipsticks.
What?
Like
they snorted
a car?
Dipset.
Oh, you mean like the powdered?
Mariano snorted dipset for a few years.
The powdered sugar, yeah.
Oh, I thought you were saying like the car, like the oil checker from your car.
I'm just envisioning someone snorting Joel Santana right now. Sorry.
Dipsticks.
I don't know what you just said, Jared. is that a restaurant?
Yes.
Yeah.
Definitely.
All I know is I was dead for 2 days. I came out and Dufour is yelling at people on Twitter.
I heard Dave's a racist.
Yeah, this guy called me a racist because I said LeBron James doesn't play defense. I'm also the first person to notice this.
Oh, is that what that was? That tweet that got deleted?
Yeah. Yeah. What a pussy. Sorry, am I allowed to even say that? I don't know.
Wow. That sounds pretty racist to me.
Is that because Steph's white? Is that what we're doing here?
I don't have any idea where this guy was coming from, but Gene? I wasn't.
I think I'm morphing Sam's life into this equation here. Well,
unverified Sam Esfandiari, so we can't trust his opinion on anything.
Didn't it turn into like someone going at Sam somehow?
Oh, I don't think it does. So. Usually. Yeah, I mean, Sam kind of brings that on himself. I don't know, but this guy deleted all of his tweets. So, and then he tried to claim he was joking, which, you know, that's always a funny joke.
Yeah, it's always that's the great cop out. I wasn't serious. I mean, can't you tell I was using the sarcastic font?
Yeah, I wasn't seriously saying that you were a racist on a public forum that you use to like promote your work and stuff like that. Yeah, nah, we're all laughing here. No.
Whenever I'm losing an argument with my wife, I just go with, wow, you can't take a joke, huh?
Right. Yeah, I don't know.
You couldn't sense that I was joking?
It's funny. Like, you know, I always tell myself I won't get mad online. I definitely was mad this morning. I gotta like take some Twitter anger management courses for this.
Got a weed pen if you want to use it.
Yes. Well, I mean, if I were in a state where it were legal,
right?
Maybe I would consider it.
I'm looking into, man, do you have any idea? Guess how much money a t-shirt Gatling gun is?
$220.
A Gatling gun.
$579.
I'm going $1,500.
Jade?
Jeez.
Price is right it.
$250.
$250?
$250.
$1,000
in this economy.
It's kind of worth it, though, if you think about it. Hold on a second. A shot range of up to 150 feet.
Is that that long?
Eight shots per second.
It's 50 yards.
Okay. I can fire off 8 t-shirts in a second, and they can all go up to 150 feet.
Where'd you find this?
T-shirtgun.com. It's a real website, guys.
And they sell what there?
T-shirt cannons, t-shirt Gatling guns.
What about the sushi?
Like the, I mean, if you think of, all right, so the Bleacher Reacher Pro model has a range of up to 300 feet. That's going to run you $1,600.
Oh, yeah. Here's the Micro Mini, $699.
Yeah.
Can we get one of these in time for the show in LA?
Reacher? The Bleacher Reacher Pro, Tom. Please get it.
That would be awesome. It's not to be
confused with the Bleacher Reacher Mega. Yeah.
In excess of 100 feet.
Yeah, I was going to go for the Pro, but then I heard there was a Mega on the market.
I mean, it's for
now I'm not so sure.
You get an extra 100 feet? Like, come on. You can't beat that. Oh, man. These
Until
you
now.
This, you see this Def Leppard, Zach?
Oh, the Def Leppard. What? Oh, my. Custom it's like, cannons?
It's like four horns mounted on a little trigger.
Oh, my God. Custom fleshlight cannon? I'm sorry, what?
This unit is designed to get attention.
Wait, are we firing fleshlights at people?
Oh,
so
no.
The Def Leppard does what? Like it shoots out the t-shirts with also like sugar?
The Def Leppard is just like four it looks like four air horns on a gun mount.
There's a burrito shaped Bleacher Reacher Pro t-shirt cannon, Tom. Burrito shaped. They'll customize this thing. They got one shaped like a guitar. Oh my God.
I love that t-shirtgun.com is the number one hit you get. Like it auto completes when you type in t-shirt gun. That's amazing.
Yeah.
That's some SEO at work right there.
Yeah. We need that for like podcast. You type in podcast and it goes straight to the website.
Jade, we've paid for worse things as a company. Get me a fucking t-shirt cannon.
You want the Vortex?
I will run this entire live show. All I want to do is walk around the city firing t-shirts at people.
Does it also shoot things 1 foot in the air? As in, if you stand 1 foot in front of it, does it also hit that person? Yes. You are going to find out at the next live show, LA.
I got to have the Mega. I got to have the Mega.
The first question on their FAQ, why should I purchase a can from t-shirt?
The number one, wait, hold on. 10 quick reasons why I should purchase a Canon. Lifetime warranty is number one.
I mean, you can't argue with that logic.
All of our cannons use high-grade machine parts. There's excellent tech support in case you can't figure out how to shoot a t-shirt at somebody. We will custom adapt any of our cannons to shoot anything. Shoot anything! What?
That's not good.
No, man. You can fire like spaghetti at people. Are you kidding me? Again, we offer logo Zach, on the cannon free of charge. Logo on the cannon so we can customize it and count the dings thing.
Jay, we can also rent one for an event. We can just rent one for $300.
Yeah, why don't we just rent a tuxedo and be cheap?
Right.
Buy renting a tuxedo.
It's an investment.
Yeah, exactly. Our engineers created the first t-shirt cannon. These are the originators. You're going to go with some knockoff? We're the only one in the industry who offers a rapid loading cannon for promotional items. Our cannons are made entirely in the U.S. Guys, we are saving jobs in the U.S. This is incredible. They offer an online shopping cart. That's a reason to buy a t-shirt cannon. All right, okay. And then our barrels are made of the same high-quality, high-safety GE Lexan used on a space shuttle. Guys, we could go to fucking space with this t-shirt cannon.
I just love the image of you walking the coffee in the morning down the street with the cannon.
Definitely nothing could go wrong there.
You want a t-shirt? No! Well, here's one anyway.
Say hello to my extra large. Welcome to the Basket Buds. You're home for t-shirt cannon fodder. I'm Zach Harper. We got Tom Haverstraw. We got Dave DeFour. We got Jared Dubin. We got Anthony Mays. Jade Hoy pushing buttons, chiming in, falling asleep. Jade, how you feeling? First and foremost, how are you feeling?
I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here. You what?
I'm here. Here. Where's Waz?
Blue game. Waz is on a plane.
Is he really?
Waz apparently survived Atlanta, so.
Oh, he's coming back. I see.
Not the Waz I know.
Nice. No, I'm getting better. I'm feeling better. But still hurting.
Tom, how's must-see TV?
Oh, it's great. Yeah. I just recorded a big number with a sickly Jade who last night, once again, for the second week in a row, gave me a heart attack by saying, can't do the big number tomorrow. Sorry.
No, I said 50-50.
100/0 is the text I'm reading right now. But he showed up. He gutted it out just like those KD-led Warriors last night.
Ooh, man. Eking out a victory against the Magic in November. Sound the alarms.
Apparently, Rob Lopez is saying that people were very upset online.
One person?
Yeah, there's this one dude who got mad at me for not respecting Nick Vucevic in a contract year yesterday. So I'm not sure how seriously I should take this. KD, Larry, we know KD's great. KD goes for 49 against Jonathan Isaac. Like, that's good. Like, it was a great game. I don't know why I'm supposed to pretend this is one of the 10 best KD performances I've ever seen. Like, we know he's great. What are we doing?
Terrence Ross was a bigger story, I thought.
Yeah, and the whole idea of, like, what are the Magic doing? What should the Magic do?
Yeah, it's way more fun to talk about. So let's talk about that. How about, I don't know if you guys saw this, but I just posted a player comparison on Basketball Reference. Vucevic is actually outperforming Nikola Jokic this season in just about every category.
What does outperforming mean?
Outscoring.
Outscoring. Rebounding. His shooting is better. His assist percentage is, let's see, is it higher? I thought it was higher. No, it is not higher. Vucevic is at 21%, though. And in VORP, Jokic is 1.6 and Vucevic is 1.5. So very, very similar as far as their performances. Zach, what do you have to say? What do you have to say about that?
I mean, I don't think Jokic is all that good either. So I don't know what you want me to do here. I think he's outperforming Joel Embiid, I'm like, all right, now
Vooch is having a really nice season.
He is for a mediocre team. I'm shocked that a guy in a contract year, when everyone's going to have cap space, decided to bring it and put up some numbers on a below 500 team. Like, I'm shocked. Well, it blows my mind.
My point with Vooch is that I think that the Magic
He's going to get fat like Deion Waiters. Just wait.
They could get something for him, right? And so they could get another draft pick or something that they can bring in that fits the timeline of their younger guys. Because, it's pretty clear. I mean, Vooch is, 28? I don't think he's going to be the long-term answer there. Signing another big to a long contract would be a huge mistake. So, yeah, I'm wondering what the market is for Vooch.
I don't see much of a market, honestly. Like,
yeah, what team is going to give up an asset for Vooch if you can go and sign him this summer?
Right. He's playing well, but, like, who's Nikola Vucevic away from being good or being a finals team or whatever?
The Warriors.
There doesn't seem to be a team that's, like, a mostly offense-only center away from being as good as they want to be. I do think he's playing a little bit better defense this season. He's rebounding, like, crazy. I think he's where is it? I just had it up before. So he's at 31% defensive rebound rate, which is just ridiculous, which is, that's obviously good, but it's not like he's a defensive anchor in the middle. I mean, he's 28. If that was going to happen, it would have happened by now, probably, even though, big guys do tend to develop defensively a little bit slower than wings or even point guards, but he's playing well. I think we should commend him for it, but I don't see some really good deal out there for the Magic that's going to make them a lot better in the future.
Getting a lot of Greg Monroe vibes on the Celtics, where it's like, hey, they just need a scoring big man to put them over the edge in the playoffs because that offense is not running very well. I'm not comparing him exactly to Greg Monroe, but I'm getting the vibes. I'm getting a whiff.
Monroe, they got him essentially on the buyout market, right?
Right. And
so, Vucevic is making, $12.75 million. That's a little bit different.
All right, I'm gonna throw some names at you. Who would you rather acquire and who would you rather sign this summer? Okay. Nick Vucevic or Robin Lopez?
Robin Lopez.
For both?
Acquire.
I'd take Vooch. Yeah. Well, I mean, they're two, I feel I like it depends two totally on the different
team. Yeah, I think it depends.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, all right. So you need a big man to help out your rotation.
I mean, the thing is, if Vucevic goes to a different team that's not the Magic, he's not going to be the number one option. He's not going to be putting up, like, such high scoring numbers. Like, he'll rebound for you, that's for sure. And, like, he's a good three-point shooter, which is nice. But, like, he's in a starring role in Orlando, and he's not going to really help a contender because he's going to have to slot in as, like, a third option or something like that.
Well, I wonder if maybe Charlotte makes some sense for Vooch.
I mean, they already had Dwight last year filling up stats. Like I don't think anything's going to put Charlotte over the top.
Yeah, Tom. You put Charlotte there. All right, now Vooch is not getting the ball as much. You can still run stuff off him and he can pass, but you're still not getting him the ball as much. The ball's going to be in Kemba's hands. Like that's really going to do anything?
Well, I mean, it's a pick and roll partner, another competent shooter. Never hurts. I'm not saying he's not as good as him,
but Cody Zeller in a pick and roll is pretty effective as just a guy who knows the timing of rolling to the basket, crashing the boards when they swarm Kemba on a shot. Like,
and he's a great screen setter.
Yeah.
And now suddenly you're playing Zeller at the four again, like when he played next to Dwight, or you're cutting Zeller's minutes and the team always plays better when he's on the court. Mm-hmm. Not like Vucevic is probably a better player just overall, but Zeller makes, I think, more sense for them.
Brook Lopez or Nick Vucevic?
I mean,
for Charlotte,
I'm facing Brook Lopez averaging more threes than rebounds.
I'm saying you're gonna acquire a big man, or you're gonna go sign a big man this summer. Well, I'm just naming like 2019 free agents.
I would rather have Brook Lopez.
Yeah,
for sure.
Probably
because of defensive stuff. I mean, you know, it's night and day.
I do feel like we're kind of, you know, like shitting on Vucevic here. Like he's been good. It just doesn't seem like it's.
This is my point. Everyone wants to say like, oh, we got to respect Vooch. Oh, give Vooch some credit. I'm like, okay, you want him on your team? Well, no. Okay, then what are we doing? Like, why am I supposed to give a guy credit when nobody wants him on their team?
Well, it's just because the center position is completely undervalued in general. Like, unless you're going to run your whole offense.
Talk about Anthony Davis, Karl Anthony Towns, Joel Embiid, Nikola Jokic. Like, all we do is talk about these guys.
All right. I'm going to talk about Vooch a little bit more. This morning, I aggregated every player the last five seasons in win probability added in the clutch. So basically, how much do they raise or lower your win probability based on shooting field goal attempts, free throws, and turnovers. And here are the bottom five in win probability added, or maybe we should call it win probability subtracted. Mm-hmm. Okay. The worst is Rajon Rondo.
No.
The second worst is Elfrid Payton. I think there's a type here. Derrick Rose is number three. And coming in at four is Vucevic.
Wait, is this just for this season?
Last five seasons.
Oh, I'm sorry. Last five seasons. Gotcha.
Vooch is the fourth worst in terms of taking wins away from you in clutch situations, based on your shooting from the floor, shooting on free throws and turnovers. Vooch is pretty far down on the list. So that's not good. I don't know what it says, but he is not the crunch time scorer that you would hope out of a big man. He's so not that guy.
Definitely not going to help the Hornets, who can't win close games at crunch time.
Yes. They did win last night, though. They did. Congrats to the Hornets. Oh, a big win over the Bucks.
Yeah, I appreciate the Bucks playing the long con here. You know how Greg
Is
Maddux.
That where we're going?
Yeah,
Is that
yeah. This, hold on, let me twist this. you know how Greg Maddux used to give up. He'd throw pitches that he knew guys could hit to the warning track, and he would do that thinking like, all right, when I face them again later on in the season, I'm going to throw this pitch and they think they can hit it out. They think they just missed it. Greg Maddux would do that. That's how crazy and genius he was. That's what the Bucks did here. Oh, they think they can win this game for us. We're going to run plays for Pat Connaughton, right? Like that's what we're going to do. We're going to do that at the end of the game instead of giving it to Giannis or giving it to Middleton. So they've kind of just played the long con here with the Hornets.
They're throwing changeups
throwing changeups, throwing cutters just off the end of the bat.
There's Manny Ramirez who would purposely swing and miss at pitches early in the game to get him later in the game.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
I'm proud of you for combining it. Your Bucks and your Braves into,
hey man,
into
one what team. It's what I do. It's what I do, guys. It's a nice win for the Hornets. Glad they got a close one, but you know, you're welcome. Wink, wink. From the Bucks. Happy holidays.
They're 7-6 in their last 13, by the way.
Derrick Rose, Vucevic, Jeff Teague, Michael Carter-Williams, and Ish Smith.
All bad shooting point guards and Vucevic?
This is wrong. Ish Smith, I hate this metric. Jade, we got to cancel the big number.
You hate this metric? Ish
Smith is taking away more wins than just about any player in the league. It can't be right.
Yeah,
that's right. For himself,
taking away
right?
from the opponent, right?
Yeah, they're for him now.
Can't be right.
I think you got to get that Ish out of here.
Oh, just swing and you know what? You just hit that over the fence. I was going to say swing and miss, but because it's Ish, it's a home run. Oh, Matthew Dellavedova, Tyreke Evans. There's a pattern here. Anyway, sorry.
The pattern the is guys who have played in the Central Division, right?
Yes, yes. Joakim Noah. Also on this list.
Has he played enough to qualify?
Ricky Rubio. Also
fake.
On the list.
This is a bad list.
do you factor, Gomez.
Do you factor in eyelashes? Does that factor into your metrics at all?
Oh, no.
Eyelashes yeah, above like, replacement. Oh you got to like, add that.
Was it puppy dogs and cinnamon?
Puppy breath and cinnamon.
Puppy breath.
Get it right.
Why was it puppy breath and cinnamon? Puppy breath smells kind of bad.
Puppy breath is the most innocent thing in the world.
What?
It's like a baby fart.
What?
Oh, that's not. No.
Oh, man, you know who's going to be mad at this podcast? All these nerds that wanted us to talk basketball.
Oh, God.
Should we talk? Let's talk Kevin Durant a little bit. We've talked enough Vucevic for the rest of the season.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, we'll keep bringing him up, and you'll keep getting upset. It'll be great.
Not upset. I just if nobody wants him, then why are we talking about him? Right.
Well, just because somebody's better doesn't mean he's bad.
Just because he's putting up numbers on a bad team doesn't mean he's good.
He's like the line, you know. The line. He's that guy, you know. Whatever that line is between wanting a guy and not wanting him, there it is.
Oh, he's well below that line. Nobody wants him. Orlando fans come at me. They're like, "Hey, give Vucevic some credit." I'm like, "Okay, you want him?" And no. All right, then what do we do?
Now, single game plus minus is not really like a good indicator. He was -8 last night. With the Warriors. Aaron Gordon was +11 and didn't score.
Did he come back in the game? I know he had back issues or something happened to him.
No, he was out. And then that was like the big change in that game. That and Kevin Durant and Klay Thompson going absolutely bonkers.
Yeah, Kevin Durant turned it on defensively in the second half. And that's when they made that run. Like he had that big block in transition and then they kind of made this run after that. Klay went off and KD was ridiculous, but it seemed, I think Sam Esfandiar was talking about that on Twitter this morning, probably at 4 a.m. or something, because he just gets up and starts tweeting about the Warriors. Like I wonder if he even knows he's doing it, or if it's like an ambient situation.
If it was 4 a.m., he was tweeting about the San Francisco housing market.
Right, oh, that's true.
5 a.m. is Warriors time. Exactly. Yeah.
But it's you know, this talking about kind of the reluctance of some Warriors fans to still accept KD or embrace him or whatever. I can't really remember what it was, but he was saying like it's the effort defensively, and it's not that he's, you know, LeBron-ing this situation where LeBron is pacing himself. It's just that KD has been, I would say, more inconsistent defensively than what we saw last year. Last year, we saw him kind of carry this team defensively at times. And this year, it's been more in and out. And last night was a good example of that. It was early on. I wouldn't say he was playing great defense. Like, he was just kind of existed there. He wasn't playing bad defense, but it wasn't turned up. And then in the second half, after that block, like, he was ridiculous defensively. He was all over the place. Even some of the shots guys hit over him, it was really good defense. And I think it's hard to expect him to carry that team offensively and play that kind of defense when Steph and Draymond are out. But that's kind of what's needed right now.
Well, if you remember the first like month and a half of last season, we all talked about him as a potential defensive player of the year, and then it trailed off. And I think he kind of, you know, like you hit on a good point. He can't do what he does offensively, especially when Steph is out, which, you know, coincided with this run last year, where he had the great defense and Steph got hurt and then he had to tone it back a little bit. He just doesn't have the energy to expend on both ends like that, especially with Draymond out. And so I think that your point, like this next level of greatness is what people want out of him every single night. And physically, it's just, it's almost impossible.
And I don't even think I want that. I don't think I want that in November. I'd rather him save it. And I know Samus Fendiari is going to get really mad at me for saying LeBron James is smartly saving his defensive energy for the playoffs. But man, it works. LeBron saves his energy for the playoffs and they get to the finals every year. So
he doesn't even save his energy for the playoffs. He saves it for like game sevens and the finals. Like,
yes.
He didn't try on defense for most of that series against Indiana last year. Like, you know, like, it works, like you said, but he conserves, I think, even way more than the common conception.
Well, it's just like another baseball analogy. Like, these guys are designated hitters at this point. Like, Harden is kind of the same way. Like, you know, if you have to carry the load offensively for a team, you can't expect it to be the dominant two-way player. Like, I mean, even Kawhi isn't fully back to that level yet, but we don't have anybody like that right now.
When the Red Sox won the World Series, just going to remind everyone that happened. When the Red Sox won the World Series, Steph Curry tweeted out, or one of his friends, or someone tweeted out a picture of him with David Ortiz in the locker room. And the subtitle on the picture was like, Steph Curry and David Ortiz posed for a picture in the Red Sox clubhouse during the fourth inning of a game while he was DHing. I just love that.
Yeah, David Ortiz was in the clubhouse
taking pictures with Steph Curry during the game in which he was playing. Baseball's not a sport.
What does a designated hitter do? They bat, and then like an hour and a half later, they bat again, right?
Yeah, that's hang out. Yeah,
I didn't realize Tom was trying to get back on Bill Simmons' podcast.
Hey, you're a Red Sox fan, Tom? I had no idea. Thought you were from Connecticut.
It's a joke, right, Jade?
You're on the New York side of Connecticut, too. That's what makes it even more baffling.
Connecticut geographical here.
Yeah.
Well, just because you lived on the line.
I lived on the line.
The Vucevic line?
So I'm...
No, people want
it. It is a habitual line stepper, is what I'm trying to say.
Also, all right, one more thing on Vucevic, all right?
Yeah.
We're not going to commend the guy for stretching the floor with under 3 3-pointer attempts a game, okay? Take some threes, you cowards.
So you want him to go full Brook Lopez is what you're
like,
saying.
I need a minimum of four.
Thing is, he
preferably
gets a lot of
5 or 6.
So they still run a lot of their offense through him in the post. So he actually gets post touches.
I can't figure out how they're bottom five in offensive rating. Can't figure that out one bit.
By the way, Zach, I was reading your athletic story.
On theathletic.com where you can sign up, get 60% off and a free t-shirt right now.
Yeah, yeah.
They're selling free t-shirts?
Theathletic.com/gift. Yeah, that's a promo code. Go ahead.
You know, you didn't take 60% off on this power rankings. You did not. You went 100% on this power rankings.
Yeah, I'm so
especially when I got to the Celtics and you just said, yeah, this offense just sucks.
They do. They flat out suck.
I mean, basic Brad, what do you expect?
Yeah.
They did some nice stuff last night.
Yeah, they hit threes. What a shocking concept.
47% last night. But relying on that does not replace having a functional offense that gets you to the line and gets you to the basket.
A third of their points happen in the paint. Just a third. Like, they got to attack the basket.
They shot 10 free throws.
Oh. Yeah, but that's the refs.
Well, the Pelicans shot 30.
That's also the refs.
Yeah. I mean, but, you know, also it's the style of play. I mean, not getting to the basket, referees are just not going to – you're not going to go to the line as much. And that's a function of the offense. I brought up the idea of that they may need an offensive coordinator, like an offensive minded assistant coach, sort of like Tom Thibodeau was the defensive coordinator for those Doc Rivers teams. They need something to have this much talent and not be able to be top 10 in offense. It's just kind of, it's wild to me.
Is Brad Stevens a defensive guy?
think he's a culture guy.
I thought he was kind of an, I mean, obviously he hasn't had a ton of success, but I thought he was an offensive mastermind.
No.
But what would make you think that?
His play design and the ATOs and everybody like,
yeah, well, I mean, there's a difference between drawing up an ATO and having a system, right?
Right.
Yeah.
What they should do is they should try to steal Chris Finch from the Pelicans.
That would work really well.
It seems like every offense he goes to just gets better.
That's another team that can't defend. My God.
But yeah, so I mean the Celtics, they've got these issues. And like 2 seasons ago, Isaiah Thomas went absolutely nuts and took them to a top 10 offense. But they've been outside of the top 10 the entire time he's there. What I would argue, you know, against myself is that he didn't really have talent the first couple of years.
He's but now better without talent. No, he's a mid-major coach. We know right. this.
Yeah. And so, you know, it is a skill for a coach to be able to manage talent and to maximize talent. And I'm sorry, man, when you've got Kyrie Irving, you should have a much better offense. Like even with just him, you should have a better offense.
I mean, I think that they're, I mean, it's unfortunate. I think like an injury or something would really help their rotation a little bit. Just like taking one of these pieces out and giving everybody else a little more responsibility would be necessary. Or, but like they can't really trade any of these guys, right? Like they're kind of committed to this team for the rest of the year.
Well, Jaylen Brown was out last night and they shot 47% from three. So maybe you're onto something.
It's possible.
They are 20th in the NBA in wide open 3-point percentage, 17th in open 3-point percentage. It's possible they just aren't good shooters.
Right. And they shoot a ton of long twos. And that's just not good offense. If they were replacing their long twos for more threes, it would look better. Even not hitting them, right?
Here's a list of guys who take more free throws per game than Kyrie Irving. You ready for this? 2.9 is how many he gets
that's
per game.
It? With how shifty he is? My God. Yeah, like,
he's avoiding contact. He avoids contact at the rim.
Yeah, this is something that I think happened with Derrick Rose.
Yeah, I was just going to say
years
that.
Ago, too. Like, he's such a contortionist at the rim that he always avoids these fouls when, you know, he could be getting to the line. And instead he goes for, I mean, he's really good at those ridiculous interior finishes, but
yeah.
the consequence is you don't get to the line as much.
Jan Mahimi. He's Wes Matthews. Willie Cauley-Stein.
Wes Matthews doesn't step inside the three-point line. How is he getting to the free throw line?
Ricky Rubio.
Well, yeah, Ricky Tax. Ricky baits you in with those eyelashes.
Eric Bledsoe. Dwight Powell. Yeah, all these guys take more free throws than Kyrie Irving. He needs to get to the line. He needs to pull a Hollinger, Derrick Rose situation. Got a Gordon Hayward situation and a Hollinger situation. So
maybe that needs to be the next big number.
That it starts right there, right? Is the guy who's leading your offense is not getting to the free throw line and kind of not their only penetrator, but their primary dribble drive guy who gets into the paint. Avoiding contact because he's so good at avoiding contact. So I kind of feel like he has to seek the contact a little bit better. Gordon Hayward's another one. But Gordon's having a tough time getting in the paint in general.
Gordon Hayward just, he still seems apprehensive about the leg to me. Like he's not attacking the same way. Maybe that's discomfort within the offense, but I think that injury's still in his head. Mm-hmm.
Well, I was listening to something where that said that he basically calls up for a pick on every play and can't beat anyone off the dribble on his own. So that's
but still isn't
into that.
He's not turning the corner even when they switch a big on him. So mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's just floating out to the side.
Exactly, and he winds up producing more long twos. They take going into last night's game, they were seventh in the league, so they took the seventh most long twos in the league. They are shooting 39% on long twos, which is 19th. That's just not going to get it done.
You can do that if you get to the free throw line and make up for the fact that they're settling for long twos, but they right. don't. So like it's almost like this vicious cycle where they're not getting to the rim and drawing contact, and instead they're settling for jumpers, and it's just a recipe for a bottom five offensive.
So they are sixth in the NBA in percentage of field goals from 16 to 23 feet. Orlando is fifth. They are 29th in free throw rate. Orlando is 30th. I definitely think Vucevic should go to the Celtics to help them out.
Jason Tatum for Vooch, who says no.
And throw in the Kings pick. They have the Kings pick? Someone's got a Kings pick.
They have the Kings pick. Jason Tatum has looked much better, by the way, the last like 5 or 6 games.
Yeah, he's going to be fine. Yeah. Like, we can't let Woz say like, oh, he's never going to be good again. Like, we can't let that happen, right? Like, Jason Tatum's really good.
Yeah, I mean, he's shooting 46% on threes in November after
I'll plug it in. Don't worry.
30% to start the season. So
what are you plugging in?
That was the big thing for him last year.
Oh, Woz's soundbite.
Oh, okay.
I'm glad you said that, Dave, and I hate to keep beating this drum, but
you love this drum.
Hold on, this is your favorite percussion. the savior, Jason Tatum, he's not going to get any more explosive. He's not going to get better at getting to the line.
Right now, speaking of Woz, with the Kyrie Irving, Gordon Hayward stuff, the Utah Jazz are closer to last place in the West than first place.
Wait, hold on, Tom. What is the number of games that we could look at in completed to determine this is what the standings will look like?
Christmas. It's pretty much Christmas.
Because, man, it is so weird in the West.
It's not that weird.
Yes, it is. Weird.
No, Clippers being first. About? That's not weird.
No, there's 14 teams in the West that are trying to make the playoffs.
And then the Suns.
Well, the Suns are trying. They're just bad at it.
14 teams that are going for 8 spots.
I still think when Steph comes back, the Warriors will separate a little bit. But this is what I expected. I expected the morass. I expected the everyone has a shot. And I mean, you know, we haven't had any major injuries in the West yet. We had the Jimmy Butler trade and the whole drama starting out with that situation. But like, some of these teams will fall off. It's just mostly that like the Jazz and the Rockets are 2 games back of the Lakers, and you know, maybe that'll switch, but the Rockets look a lot worse, and the Jazz just can't really seem to figure out in this no defense NBA.
Well, let's talk about both the Rockets and the Jazz then, because Rockets, you know, no Chris Paul last night, but Rockets get 54-13 from James Harden, and they can't beat the Wizards, right? And the Wizards are actively trying to murder each other. It's like a murder.
Beat the Clippers too.
The Wizards are in a – yeah, they're like, you know, won 3 out of their last 4 with quality wins. I think they beat the Pelicans at one point.
Yeah, they lost to the Raptors. So
it's like the Wizards – it's like the Wizards are in a murder mystery game and everyone's the murderer. Like, that's what they're in right now.
What's the weapon and what room did they do it in, Zach?
The weapon's always Ernie Grunfeld.
The weapon's Ernie Grunfeld and they did it in the parlor.
Right. But yeah, so the Rockets like still haven't figured it out. They, you know, they get through these moments where it seems like, all right, things are, you know, finally good again for them, and then they have a game like that. And then the Jazz turned it around against the Kings, and then their issues, like, I know the defense is a thing for them. Like, they're what, league average in defense right now. But the big problem is they can't hit shots. Like, they can't hit 3-pointers. Even Joe Ingles is hitting 38% on threes, which sounds good, except he's like a 44% 3-point shooter. So even like, that's a huge drop off. And if Joe Ingles isn't that elite shooter, if he's just good, he's not nearly as effective as what he was the last 2 seasons. So just everything is worse for them right now.
So, how worried are you guys, like 1 to 10, about the Jazz? I posted a Twitter poll the other day, like, who are people more worried about, the Celtics or the Jazz? And it started out heavily favoring the Jazz. And then by the end of the night, it was like 56-44 for the Celtics. I'm more worried about the Jazz than the Celtics.
I'm not worried about them making the playoffs. I think they're still going to make the playoffs, but this should have been a team vying for the 2 or 3 seed.
Yeah, right.
Like, exactly. That's how good they should be. And it, you know, you look at Oklahoma, they struggled the first 4 or 5 games figuring out the freedom of movement emphasis, right? Like, they really did. Paul George was in foul trouble every night. Like, they really struggled, and then they kind of figured out their adjustments on how to be a good defensive team again, and now they're a great defensive team.
I think they're killing teams too. Like, I think they're second in the West in point differential.
Yeah, they're destroying right now. And on the Athletic's power rankings, which you can read on theathletic.com and get 60% off and a free t-shirt at theathletic.com/gift, I mentioned that they still have a huge discrepancy in net rating when Westbrook is on or off. right? Like, and they've had it, it's been like around 11, 12 points per 100 possessions difference the last two seasons. This year it's down to like 7, 8. But the difference is the last two seasons, they were a negative when Westbrook was off the court. They're a positive when Westbrook's off the court. It's only like a point. It's like 1.4 per 100 possessions, but that's a huge difference for them. In that,
is that
they don't
Schroeder?
Yeah, absolutely. Like Dennis Schroeder has been phenomenal. Like he's a fringe starting point guard in this league, and you've put him in a role where he's, you know, he started a bunch because Westbrook was out, but he's mostly a backup point guard, and he's one of the best backup point guards.
I think he probably is the best backup point guard.
Yeah, probably. And then you know, you translate what the Thunder have been able to adjust to what the Jazz haven't been able to. Like I am concerned. Like I'm still more concerned about the shooting than the defense with them, but it's weird that they hashtag weird. It's weird that they haven't been able to figure out an adjustment to the new defensive emphasis.
So of the 15 guys in the NBA who have a usage rate of 30 or more, Donovan Mitchell has the worst true shooting percentage. What is that signaling, Zach? Is that the Utah's offense needs him to be a 30% usage guy and they simply don't have anyone else who can soak up those shots? Or is it indicative of him trying to do too much? Hashtag doing too much.
I think it's both. If I can hedge here, I think it's both, because I think the offense isn't clicking the way it normally would. That offense is not a ISO heavy, like you go do this stuff for us offense. Like even when Gordon Hayward was there, that's not how it runs. Like it's very intricate. It's one of the most, it's one of the deepest, most complicated offensive sets for teams to prepare for, because they have so much screen action on and off the ball. But they're not really executing any of that because Jay Crowder can't hit a shot and Joe Ingles isn't as effective and no one can really hit 3-point shots on that team right now. And because of that, that then forces them into, hey, Donovan, go save us. And teams are loading up against him. He's just making bad decisions.
Yeah, sorry, you're trying to space the floor.
Correction. Russell Westbrook, less efficient. he's at 50.9 true shooting percentage and Donovan Mitchell's at 51.1.
So. Trying to space the floor with Derek Favors and Jay Crowder just isn't working. Jay Crowder's taking the most threes on that team. And I think he's shooting like 28%. Favors shot an air ball last night that missed the rim by like 2 feet. It's just, they're not.
Yeah, but that's the wind. That's the wind.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot about the wind and the altitude. But they're also not catching teams off guard this season. The Favors Gobert thing just isn't working in the same way that it did. And like you said, they're not adjusting to the new freedom of movement rules. And so having those two bigs, it just isn't working. And I think Favors probably just needs to be the backup there. And then they got to figure something else out. It's tricky. They probably need to make a move to do anything.
I don't know if they need to make a move. I still like the roster.
So do I. I mean, I thought they were the second best team in the league.
Shoot as much.
Well, that would help. But the problem is, who's going to take those shots? Like you said, Donovan Mitchell, you know, his usage is 30%. And they're able to load up on him. But the guys out there that can take those shots, I mean, maybe Alec Burks needs a bigger
role. Yeah, I mean, Alec Burks has been better this year than in the past, especially shooting the ball. I don't think Royce O'Neal is going to shoot as poorly as he does. I don't think Rubio is going to shoot as poorly as he does. I don't think Crowder's a shooter. I don't think he's a 28% shooter, right? Like he's somewhere in that 33-34 range. And so I think guys, as they start regressing to the mean – in terms of shooting percentage, I think things will pick up. And Donovan's actually, or at least he was last year, like he's a good catch and shoot guy. He's just right, shooting too really much good off the dribble. So I really think they just need to run their offense.
It hasn't been very good for them, but I'd like to see Exum and Mitchell play a little bit more together.
Same.
Just to give them a second guy who attacks the paint. Like you mentioned it earlier, they really don't have anybody other than Mitchell that really gets toward the basket off the dribble, except for Exum. And you know, like the offense is really bad.
Burks does that pretty good, but there is a tipping point with Burks.
Yeah. And I mean, the offense has been really bad with those two guys on the court together. But I think some of it is just like disjointed. They don't play together all that much. I think we got them out there, like the two of them, Ingles and Crowder in a small lineup, like maybe that could work.
I also think like, look, this could go real poorly with spacing. I would run up a lineup of Gobert, Ingles, Exum, Mitchell, Rubio. That's a lot of passing, a lot of attacking that you can do off that.
Yeah, I'm surprised.
And defensively, they would be good.
Yeah, I'm surprised we don't see more of the small ball around Gobert or Favors.
Well, I think the offense is actually better. I'm looking it up now.
Exum, Mitchell, and Rubio haven't played together.
And Exum, I mean, Exum's like 6'5", 6'6". Like, he can guard threes.
Oh, 100, absolutely, man. And yeah, he, in the playoffs last year, I mean, I think he's a very good defender. You can put him on the other team's best guy. So you can actually save.
He did a great job against Westbrook. He did a great job against Harden at times in the playoffs, mm-hmm. Yeah.
He might have done the best job of anyone in the playoffs last year guarding Harden. I thought he was excellent there. And only
Harden did a better job of stopping himself.
But you could save Mitchell and Rubio a little bit, you know, because of Exum and his length. So
Jazz are 28th in open three-point percentage and 26th in wide open three-point percentage.
But they aren't good at shooting is part of the problem. I looked it up. Jake Crowder.
They were good last year.
Second half of last season, Jake Crowder, after he got traded to Utah, he shot 31%.
Yeah, he's had one good shooting season in his career.
Exactly.
But the rest of the guys doesn't make sense.
You mean Favors is not a knockdown three guy secretly?
But he's not taking, like, it's not like he's taking five.
Yeah, he's not taking.
Like, we can't blame it. Like, and their offense, well, their 3-point shooting is worse with Favors Gobert on the floor, but their offense is actually better for whatever reason. They also should, I know they have a defensive mentality and they want to get back. Those two should be killing the offensive boards.
The thing about Houston is the advantage of playing the two bigs. That's what San Antonio really tries to do. Like you said, OKC. In the same way Utah does.
If you're going to play two bigs,
offensively, I think they probably
send everyone else back.
Double down on what they were doing in the playoffs.
Tom, what's wrong with?
I don't know whether it's defenses or just catching up to the ISO ball. The percentages are way down on that, but. Look, the whole thing about Carmelo Anthony was a scapegoat. It was a red herring. Eric Gordon played out of his mind last night, so I can't really blame it on him. But they're just, I don't know. I think they're incorporating new guys. James Ennis, I don't think, is a world beater, and Gary Clark's a rookie. So you take Luke Mbamute off the floor, and you take Trevor Reese off the floor, and you replace them with two guys who are either journeymen or rookies. That's not a good recipe for success. It's not.
It's kind of the inverse of what's going on with Utah in that Utah is still an average defense, right? Like they haven't they're not the Timberwolves on defense. They're still an average defense, but their identity was to be elite. And with the Rockets, they're ninth in offensive rating, which is good. Like you say, like, oh, the offense can't be that bad. They're ninth, except this is supposed to be an elite offense.
Right.
It's supposed to be like one or two in the league. And so that drop off is maybe more significant than even their defensive drop off, and their defensive drop off is massive compared to last season.
They're 25th in the league in defensive rating, and they were top 10 all of last season. And that's the bigger difference. Like you said, their offense isn't clicking yet. We can
I think that matters for the playoffs, the defensive drop off and the regular season. Like they should be able to just blitz everybody with their offense every night, even if the defense is bad.
See, but that's the thing. Last season, they won so many games because their defense was actually pretty good.
Sure. Absolutely. Yeah,
it helps that they had, you know, the best offense in the league as well. It makes it easier. It gives you those fourth quarter off, you know, where you can take the fourth quarter off and get some rest. Of course, they don't do that, but you're able to do that. And now they just don't have the defensive juice. So they're not able to withstand runs in the way that last year's team was. So they go on their run and, you know, they'll get a lead. Like we saw last night, they had a 17-point lead in the first quarter, but they can't withstand the other team's run now. So they don't get to sit on that lead. I talked about this all summer. I don't take them seriously as a threat to go to the finals because they lost Ariza and Mbamute, and I knew how much that meant to their defense.
I mean, I didn't really take them as Houston fans are like this. I never thought they were going to win that series. Even if Chris Paul's healthy, I never, and it's not a knock on them. I just think it's entirely up to the Warriors what happens.
Yeah, that series was more about the Warriors losing games than the Rockets winning games until Chris Paul went out.
Yeah, and it sounds like you're discounting what the Rockets did. I don't think that's what it is. I just think that we can't say, the Warriors have ruined the league and then say they don't dictate what happens in the league.
Yeah, I mean, it's It's just, you look at the roster and it's just unbelievable the names that are on this Houston Rockets team. You know, like you don't recognize these guys, or you do recognize them in a very bad way, like Michael Carter Williams, or, you know, they already had the whole Melo experiment come to an end, which is just crazy. Like, they didn't even get to like 20 games.
Gerald Green, Zach, describe him without using the word sucks. We're playing taboo with Gerald Green. Go.
Horrendous. Horrendous, terrible, failure. Atrocious.
I think, like, we talked about it like earlier in the year. They kind of need to be like this year's Sixers, where they get two guys in the buyout market, right?
Oh, for sure. I mean,
definitely.
And Daryl Morey will figure out at least one of those guys, right? Like, they usually find their way into something. Especially if he's willing to give up draft picks, like, then you can go get someone with one or two draft picks if he's that desperate at some point. It just, I know you can't necessarily do this, but isn't this roster they have way more conducive to the 7 seconds or less model than the ISO slow pace model of last year?
Just because of lack of spot up shooting? Is that what you
mean? Yeah. Like, I think, like, you know, are they last or second to last in pace? Like, I just think this team should be running.
But Harden and Paul aren't going to run, though.
Yeah, why not? No. Harden did it 2 years ago.
But he got his MVP. I mean,
yeah, those guys are all about,
they're playing,
like,
faster now than they did 2 years ago, though, right? So it's not relative to the league, they're not, but right, relative to themselves, they are. So it's like, it's hard to say.
Well, I don't think that, actually, I don't think that's true either.
So they're at 97 possessions a game this season. 2 years ago, yeah, they are playing slower, 100.5. So 3 possessions a game slower.
And relative to the league, that they're like 29th compared to third, right? Yeah. 2 years ago.
And they're a little bit slower than last year too. Last year was 98.1.
Yeah. This year, which was middle of the pack, I think. Somewhere.
Yeah, this year they're at 96.9. So,
yeah, and it's not, and I get if the whole idea is, oh, well, the league thinks they can run like we used to, so we're gonna throw this curveball, fine. I just don't think that's what it is.
I mean, I think 23rd in transition offense and 11th in half court offense. That's interesting to me. If they have the mentality of trying to go for it in transition and making that their identity, that probably would get better. But I'm surprised that they're not better in transition. But okay, another thing, Chris Paul's missed the last 2 games.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of that. They're 0-4 in the 4 games that he's missed.
Well, Chris Paul's, he was suspended for a couple games. James Harden was out as well. Like, I can point to the
if only they had a spectacular league guard that they could rely on.
Okay.
In those 2 games. And I know he had 54 and 13. Like he's putting up numbers, but he always.
You're talking about Gerald Green, right?
Exactly. Right. Or rookie of the year, Michael Carter Williams. It feels like James Harden is putting up numbers and they're less meaningful than they used to be. Or maybe I'm just used to him by now. Like, I don't know what it is, but
he's the Houston Vucevic.
That's what I'm saying. That's exactly
that's what you're saying. Yeah.
Nicola Harden.
I'm picking up what you're putting down, Zach. Yeah.
No, but you know what I'm saying? Harden is clearly awesome, but the numbers, I don't know, maybe they just became too mundane, which is crazy when a guy puts up 54 and 13 to be like, oh yeah, he did that again. But it just seems to be he's getting his and no one else is getting theirs. And that's where I think they need to push the pace again, because I think if they're pushing the pace with Harden as the lead guy, especially when Chris Paul's out, I just think that's when he truly opens things up for the rest of his teammates, because there's so much pressure on the defense to stop him going to the basket, running pick and rolls, getting out in transition, getting into the middle of the paint, that guys can run to the corners, guys can, you know, get secondary lanes down to the rim run. You know, like, I think so much more opens up, whereas now it's just like, all right, we just got to get this half court set and hopefully we stop them enough.
So I just want to throw it out there. They are 8-4 in games where they've had their preferred starting five of Paul, Harden, Ennis, Tucker, and Capella. That's a 55 win pace.
Yeah, but I mean,
maybe they're fine.
I mean, I was going to ask you guys.
They're 25th in defense. They're not fine.
If you had to choose between the Rockets and the Jazz, to which one of those teams is more likely to be, let's say, top four seed in the West?
Who the Rockets.
The Rockets.
Yeah, I'll take the Rockets now.
Because here's the thing, Jared. We're not talking about the Rockets being okay and making the playoffs and being a top four seed. We're talking about them being a contender.
Title contender.
Right.
Yeah. Like,
the Warriors and then everybody else like is hoping they get hurt. Right.
Right, but last year they thought they were the contenders. And there's no way they can think that with what's going on, even with their preferred starting lineup. There's no way they can think that at this point. Like, that's crazy. And so it's not like they've moved the goalposts on themselves. They've raised the expectations. So you don't get to go back down a tier or two and then say, like, well, we'll get to the next spot and it'll be okay. Like, that's
we're
not
still the Rockets.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you're not still the Rockets. You're the Rockets of 3 years ago, where it was just like, oh man, that's cute. Look at them. They're playing fun. Like, James Harden's fun. He's putting up cool numbers. Like, that's not their standard anymore. So that's why, like, if it sounds like I'm being unfairly harsh on them, it's because they're supposed to be that good.
Okay. So last year they played 827 minutes. Clint Capella, James Harden and Chris Paul on the floor, 827 minutes. In those 827 minutes, they had an offensive rating of 121. Oof. And a defensive rating of 109.
I mean, come on. That's ridiculous.
Those same three guys on the floor this season in 228 minutes, those same three guys, offensive rating 111, defensive rating 116.
Wow.
So their offense has gone from 121 to 111, and their defense has gotten worse from 109 to 116 with the same three guys. So I think that points to, not only is this roster different, but it's gotten worse, the supporting cast around those three guys. And by the way, 228 minutes is tiny. That's 228 out of 922 this season. So when Chris Paul's out, then James Harden plays, but then when James Harden doesn't play, Chris Paul is out, and it's just they haven't been able to be on the floor. And when they are on the floor, they're just not nearly as good.
And I think a lot of it has to do with looking at it now, that Paul Harden, Ennis Tucker, Capella group is actually getting kind of smoked.
Yeah.
157 minutes, 101 offensive rating, 108 defensive rating.
101 offensive rating?
Yep.
It's almost Celtics starting five-esque.
And they're somehow
the Hawks are like a 101.
So they're starting the games with that group, getting killed it with it, and then winning.
You mentioned, Tom, that they were they're 23rd in transition offense, right?
Yeah.
They were first last year. A difference of 15 points per 100 possessions.
Man, the MVP drug is a hell of a drug. It really is. MVP.
He came in out of shape.
He does that every year.
Last year he was killing, man. He was killing right away. And this is the thing, too, is like, you can play the yeah, but game with them. Yeah, but Eric Gordon's not hitting. Yeah, but they are healthy. Yeah, but like, you can get through five or six yeah, buts to justify like they'll be fine. But man, that's like, you shouldn't have to play that. This team is too good. Even losing Bamute, losing Ariza, like I'm with you guys on that. These are major losses they did not make up for in any way. You cannot say Carmelo was going to make up for him. You can't say James Ennis is going to get there. Gary Clark might be a fine NBA player someday. He's not those guys right now. And this is the thing. Everything is about what can they do right now, building into the postseason. And nothing they're doing, even that 8-4 with that starting line, like nothing they're doing looks like that.
It's not going to be fun. It's not going to be fun come playoff time. It really stinks that the West, I don't think, has a real – they don't have anyone who I think is going to push the Warriors to six games.
I would take a healthy Thunder team against the Rockets right now.
Or Memphis.
Because Memphis, come on.
Memphis plays the Warriors tough for some reason.
No, I stand by.
They don't like playing the Memphis Grizzlies. They don't.
They don't like playing the Memphis. Let's just go.
They don't like playing the Memphis.
Memphis plays them tough.
Not doing this.
That's where we're at.
Flat out not doing this. Okay? Memphis has been nice. Nope. Memphis has been really good. They're a great story. They're going to make the playoffs as long as they're healthy and, you know, fantastic. Good on them. They bounced back quickly. They got a nice young guy and Jaren Jackson Jr. We're not going to say the Warriors are going to be worried about playing Memphis.
I didn't say that. You said push him to six games.
Push him to six
games. American games?
No, Canadian. Six Canadian games.
They might get a game if the Warriors are bored.
The Warriors are usually bored.
How many games would your Bucks get?
Oh, Bucks sweeping four.
Oh, okay. God.
Yeah. Huge missed opportunity to
Wait, are you saying against? Are you saying against?
Huge. Are you saying wing and a miss?
Are you saying against Memphis or against the Warriors?
Against the Warriors. Doesn't matter, right? Sweep either way.
Exactly.
I mean, yeah, I think you're right though, Zach. I think a healthy Thunder team with Roberson is an interesting counter.
Because you can throw Roberson and you can throw Paul George on the Harden Chris Paul combo.
And can we count on Roberson to be healthy at any point this season?
Absolutely not. I'm just saying, in a series where both teams are healthy, I think I would take the Thunder.
Today's Basketball Buds. For more and the rest of Basketball Buds, go to patreon.com/countthedings and subscribe and support the show. We talked about the Tiger Phil matchup over the weekend, whether or not the NBA should do sound up broadcasts for the All-Star game. We also talked about the strange foreign secretary Boris Johnson from England and his wild Twitter videos. And then we also talked about, I think, foreskin. All right.